we have to be very, very careful. In fact, Pastor Kraja, we have been learning, that is about 2 months or 3 months, about the power of the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember that, whether it is ring, yes, whether it's your children, whether it's your house, whether it's you, you be careful opening your mouth and saying something. And we have seen it. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Good news from home. Before you start Bible study, I'm trying to give you faith so that when you come to the Word, back home, God is doing great things. Since Kenya started fighting with a Qaeda group in Kenya, our military, after, you know, my brother is a senior officer. I called him every day to know what's going on and ask him how far they have gone. Up to date, they have not lost even one soldier since they started. But the other side, they have almost 200 Al-Qaeda's, more than that. And by tomorrow, before Sunday, they're going to capture the last town. So we have seen God, and people are praying serious. Yeah, back home, they are praying, no joke. I call Christian, we are praying for our military. We are praying. It's like, you know, Americans, sometimes they are very good. Whenever they are military, they are outside, you see them all in the church holding one another to pray for their military. Because that is a part of our life. Amen. So that's it. If you have more news, let me know. Amen. That is our breaking news before we start going in the Word of God. Remember to pray. Why do I say all these things? We remember to pray. Jesus said, pray without
ceasing.
That is 24/7. He don't say pray today, then tomorrow stop, then pray the other day. No. Pray without ceasing. Because the more you pray, you know what I say? And I do give this testimony wherever I go. When I came here, I think my Pastor Kaji have never heard that. There's I get this guy called Warimwe, Mzee Warimwe, the old man. And I was very new in Dallas about 3 years ago, or 2.5 years ago. Then I asked him, do you have Kenyan churches here? He said yes. The first Sunday, I think we went to, not to Upendo, I think Presbyterian. And it was good, and I see the pastor, and he shared with me and asked me to give testimony. After that, I said, it's a good church. Do you have another one? Yeah, this next Sunday, he took me to Hillcrest. Is it Hillcrest? I was there. The service was good. Yeah, I told him, do you want to be here? I told him, oh, this church is good, and I like it. Do you have another one? He took me to Upendo. I went there, I was good, what I shared with Pastor Luto, he called me in the office, we talked, and I told him, Mr. Arimu, oh, the charger is good, do we have another one? You know, I think it's about almost 80 Sundays. Then he told me, oh, you know the way he talks, eh? He said, oh, there's another young boy. He called Pastor Tony young boy. There's another young boy from Nakuru. And he, that's where he is. So we came, at that time you are not here, you are in the hotel, I don't know where. So we came, we started going loud here until midday, we did not find the hotel. So I told him, let us go. Then we went to Hillcrest, when we were going home, we were there again, and they were happy to give me time, and I remember that pastor saying, no, you are going to preach very soon here. I said, hey, you have to know me first before I preach, because I might having a different spirit. So, but I say it's okay. So, after about 8 weeks, we came here with all these things were not here. I remember everything. It was nothing, carpet, any, these walls, these classes were all here. We built them when I'm here. Then when I came inside, when I get inside, I found three ladies kneeling down and praying. I don't know whether it was a Catherine, I don't know whether it was Purity, and I think Alex's wife. They were kneeling, praying, and they were speaking with other tongues. Then I sat, I remember behind the, here near your system, there was a system, one of the, I was there. I looked, I reasoned how they were praying, they were speaking the word. I asked God, I've been looking somewhere, nothing else. Somewhere only I can get brothers and sisters praying. Nothing else, nothing has brought me here. From that side, I said, I'll be going there. And I remember the next Sunday, I was very, I think I was number one or number two. Because, you know why? Me, I do believe 100% by prayers and the word of God. Nothing else in my spirit. I have seen prayers in my life. I have seen God answering, you know, I can't even mention prayer in me, and me, when I say this is not even, I don't want to be in my house. I'll come here, I open. How many times these police have found me here? I see them with their light, trying to check my car, it's okay. And I'm shouting here, Jesus! I see them, oh, there's somebody inside. Because nothing else. Without prayer, we can't make it. And that's why we have been going through this lesson about prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. You know, things have changed. It's prayer and eating. But in the Bible days, they were praying and fasting. But in our days, it's prayer and eating. Even now, we are eating anyway. Because it's not bad eating. I don't say it's not bad. I know wherever we go, we have to get a goat eating. We most Kenyans, and it is good. But you see, the good thing or the greatest things in our life we need to do is to know all we know. I don't say that we don't know. The secret of life is prayer and fasting. There's a difference when you pray, and there's also a difference when you pray and you fast. I've seen it in my life. As I told you the other day, the pastor even he was here, Bishop Jonah Biden, Mark Ariuki, all these guys, I have been under them even back home. You know, I could have this man, Mark Ariuki, at night with another brother called Francis Jomo and another called John Day. He's a professor, he's somewhere. We met one day in one of the downtown churches. He was the one who was preaching, and he could say, Wilson, and see, Jordan, you know, there was a total confusion there. I remember where I could go to the church at midnight. They were praying at Freehold in that big tent. These guys were praying at, I will never forget. I could sat down and look at them. I asked myself, what was the problem with these guys? Me sitting down, they are praying up there, and I could ask, what's wrong with them? Pastor Mark has a wife. He is a deputy headmaster. Yeah, he is getting good money. What's wrong? I could ask myself, what are they after? The other two guys were not married. I could say, Francis, I think he's praying for him, for God to give him a wife. But the other guy is a chief accountant with the Paris Rambaud. So he was getting a lot of money, salary. So he was, a well-learned, you know that. Now, I ask myself, what's wrong with them? Monday to Monday, every night, you go there, hey! But when I came to realize, I asked one of them and he said, we pray if you can have the same problem we have. You have never seen a good problem like problem of prayer. You carry that burden in a different way. Amen. 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 I think we are together before we get in. Amen. I remember I could pray I'm back home. I remember at night I could start praying and my wife is there. She is quite looking at me. She could say, do you sleep? All the time you make a lot of noise. I say, oh, it's a lot of noise. One day you do the same. Today, whenever I call, I'm in the church praying. You know, what I mean is this. I have seen it, not leading stories like these or what we are leading or somebody preaching or is a part I've seen in my life. God answering prayers. We have prayed here. We have seen like move. The other day he was not at work. We have been here only two nights together. Now I think it's two jobs, if I'm not right. But you see, after prayer, God intervene. God will come and do great things. Amen. Even the churches, it doesn't matter where or here or any other church. Whenever we get that report, whatever we're going on, the thing we need to do first is to start praying. Instead of talking against, we start praying, studying for our brothers and our sisters. And we're going to see God moving. Amen. Amen. So let us go to our heart. Now, if you don't have, what are we going to do? Joro? Be quiet. Be a good guy. Now, do you have extra? Oh my God, you know.
Your cup
and
tea.
No, Joro. Oh, you don't have extra You have one in the car? If you have one, you can bring for Pastor so that we can be together. Because also, if you have one. I think we are in page 307, am I right?
Yes.
What is the purpose of fasting? Oh, we have done that?
No. We finished the chapter.
Yeah, I remember we finished the other one. 307, Pastor. Page 307. What is the purpose of fasting? Are we together? It is almost, we have 1 hour, 15 minutes. And we are not going to be late, you know that. By that time we are done, amen. And, yeah. That's why we need somebody to be, we're going to look somebody to be taking care of children when we are in Bible study. I think that's a good idea. What is the purpose of fasting? That's where we are, amen. We are waiting for you, fine. We want all to be together. And I will not continue without ever even purity. Because we come here to share and to know. You are together? No, not yet. Where is Catherine?
I think she came.
The other one. Oh, you got it? Oh, good. Okay. We're going to start. Remember, what we do, Pastor Karaje, is that we go to so many scriptures, we might not even leave the whole thing. We start going to the Word of God and see what the Word says about what we're going to read tonight. Amen. So, Lorraine, start from, let us talk about choosing objective.
Let us talk about choosing objectives in fasting. Somebody said once, if you aim at nothing, you can be pretty sure you'll hit it.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have an aim or an objective when we go into something like fasting.
What does that mean?
Why?
What no is okay,
why?
But what does that? What do you understand that sentence?
You can't just fast because.
Go on.
You can't just fast just because you know like you're fasting. You have to have your own reason why you're fasting.
Exactly. That means that you can't get up and you just start fasting without having a name or something that you are praying for. I think you understand what I mean. Let us come like in our families. That is the most important thing. Me, I mention all the time families because number one, the family and the church. When the family are good or okay, the church will be okay. Get me right. When my wife is okay, the church will be okay. So that means the first thing what we can fast for is for our families. If my husband is not, if your husband is not saved, my wife is not saved, the first thing to do, you can pray, it's okay, but when you pray and fasting and aiming and claiming him to the kingdom of God, you know, you have a name, you have somewhere you target. Amen. That I think that's what the writer is talking about. Okay, we continue.
We can find many good scriptural reasons for fasting. I'll give you some, relating them to myself. First, one biblical purpose for fasting is to humble myself.
Uh-huh.
David said, I humbled my soul with fasting. Psalm 35:13.
I think you remember we the first thing we started is about humbling ourselves. You know, and you see what David says here. I humbled my soul with fasting. That means you can fast for your spiritual life. Mm-hmm. Many people like you go to many churches, somebody can be preach a good message like the way Pastor Karaja have been preaching for the last two Sundays. And because of the receiving capacity, your life, for you to receive word of God with a revelation and wisdom of God, You might not, because you don't fast even for your spiritual life. I think you get something. Yeah? You know, you can preach and you ask somebody, what is going on? Oh, I was not here. Spiritual life, for you to get that word with the liberation from the Holy Spirit, you need also to pray for yourself. Your life is very, very important. You can target for my life. I said, now, Lord, I want to change. I will not be the same. I want, even when I read your word, to understand your word in a different way, in spiritual understanding. You fasted for your life. Spiritual life, that is very, very important. So that it will be different. When you go outside to give testimony or to like the way we are planning to go downtown, you need to pray for your life, so that when you're going to open your mouth, you're going to speak the word of God with the power and demonstration. Not only a word that's going to make people happy, no. It's a word that's going to live in their spirit or change their life. Amen. Okay, we continue.
I've got a question about the reference.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 35:13.
Can you read?
But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. What does he mean by my prayer would return to my own heart?
His prayers would be answered.
Not pointing back to himself, saying he needs to pray for himself.
Well, let us go there. That's a good question. Well, where is the Bibles? But you know, Bible studies, you have to have a Bible, I think so. And that's how we have been.
Mine says,
Psalm 35, verse 13.
Mine is different. It says,
okay.
Yet when they were ill, I grieved for them. I denied myself by fasting for them. But my prayers returned an answer.
Okay, but he fasted. Eh? Okay, go to the another verse, another one. Pastor Karaja, which is it? Games or what?
One is more like.
No.
That's King James, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have the
New King James.
Yeah, mine is Old King James.
Ah, sorry.
Indeed.
So it says about returning to.
Prayers under
their heart.
The Almighty
pays
no attention to it.
You said some study.
13.
What does he say?
What did you say?
This one. Indeed, God does not listen to their empty prayer. The Almighty pays no attention to it.
What translation is that?
That's what I'm looking.
NIV.
Is that so? Is that so? Read yours.
Okay, Psalms 35, verse
13.
It says, yet when they were ill, I put on sackcloth and humbled myself with fasting. When my prayers returned to me unanswered, I went about mourning, as though for my friend or brother. But when I stumbled, they gathered in good. Okay,
we understand it, but number one, this Bible.
Which one is that?
You know where you are.
You are
in a job. Boy. I was planning to buy you another Bible.
I'm gonna go and get it.
Yeah, it's Joe. I said what? Okay. What does that mean?
Look, this version is easy to read version, except it's tiny print. When those people were sick, I was sad for them.
Uh-huh.
I showed my sadness by not eating. Is this what I get for praying for them? So that sounds like the same thing. My prayers are unanswered.
Okay. It's because he was praying for them. In another word, we can put this way. He was praying for the sick people, not for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, even now you can pray for somebody. Get me right. Even today, You can pray for somebody who is sick, and we have seen that, and somebody will not be healed. Does that mean that you have problem? No. It's not you. You start for somebody with your faith. He needs also to start with his faith. You know, you need to get that. Whenever I say pray for me, I need to have faith. Mm-hmm. Huh? You get me right?
Yes.
So, these are Old Testament things, but it's also in the Bible. What I think is here, David was praying for these guys. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were praying for themselves.
The fierce witnesses.
Right.
So they were against
him? Uh-huh. They were against him. Mm. You see? Mm. If they were against him, then God could not... He has to defend a man of God called David. Amen. Okay, but the main thing... Leave about that one. The main thing I want you to see here is that hampering himself in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And fasting. Today we have so many things going on, as we have said earlier. There are so many things in the church. We need the anointing or the fire of the Holy Spirit to move in our church, to see God moving in our families, to see God working in our families. What are we supposed to do as Christians, as the first church? Number one is to humble ourselves in prayer and fasting.
And also, if you go back to the beginning of this chapter, you will understand why he's saying that. These people, as most of you have said, they were fighting against him. They were, like on verse 4, he says, plead my cause, O Lord, verse 1, O Lord, with them that strive with me, fight against them that fight against me. And then he continues to say, like verse 7, for without cause they have hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. So you see, even after all these people have done him so evil, he humbled himself, he wear a sackcloth. You see, he wear a sackcloth. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I think that's the point. These people but as for me, when they were sick, you see, these people are fighting against him. But yet when they were sick, what did David do? The cause, what did he do? These people were sick, so the objective, you know, because they were sick, he went and they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer turned for me into my own bosom. Yes, I think.
Amen. These children, they are giving us vision.
So, Lorraine, have you understood has your question been answered?
Yes, but it's really not about the fasting part. It was the next part.
The returning of
prayers. Returning of prayers.
Yeah,
David true. Was wondering if it was worth his time to pray.
Yeah, kind of. Read Matthew, there's another scripture that talks about returning. That's Matthew 10, 13. Matthew 10, 13.
Mm-hmm.
It says, and if the house be worthy, let your feet come upon it. But if it not be worthy, let your feet return to you.
It's the same connotation there we have. These people, they did not value David's prayer and fasting. And mm-hmm. so that's why he says, my prayers returned to my own bosom. They did not accomplish anything. Mm-hmm. Because these people despised him. They didn't like him. They didn't want him. They didn't care about his prayers or his fasting. So his prayers, they came back. The same kind of thing. When your peace, you don't want your peace, if people don't receive it, that's what Jesus was saying. If that house doesn't receive you, let your peace return to you. Go with your peace. Don't leave it
don't
there.
Don't leave it.
All right.
Go with it. They don't value it.
So I that's how I would look at it. I hope it helps.
You get it?
Yeah, that sounds good. That's a little bit better than just thinking, oh, well, he's saying my prayers aren't worth anything. But instead, it's not quite don't waste your prayers.
No, let me ask you a question. Not a question, just on here. Mm-hmm. we can be praying for. I've seen that. I give you a testimony, and I all the time I give you. A brother called me. You remember that I give you to go and to pray for this guy who was dead. And he picked us early in the morning about 6:30 back home. We went to the memorial hospital. This was Mwangi was dead, and he was there. He said, "Oh, speak with our tongues. We want his life." And we are already there. There was the dad of Mwangi. We were there. Me, I said, "Oh my God! Now this one. Anyway, if we will be alive, the whole city of Nakuru will know there are three men of God here, because we were three." And we pray. I in my spirit, I said, "I think we are wasting time." And you know, this is called George Kingori. Remember the man? And we pray for 1 hour, and he was serious. He was confessing life and all this, but Mwangi never came to life. So what I mean is this, we prayed, but he said this good word, I'll never forget. We have done our part. If Mwangi don't want to come up, we got to come alive, you stay, let us go. And we went home, and we buried Mwangi. What I mean is this, he prayed, he tried, but although he was not attacked by what he was praying, what I mean is this, he did not say, "Oh, I have been wasting my time to praying to God." Mm. No. Let the peace, what the pastor have said, don't leave that your peace there, because have that peace, whether the prayer is answered or not, but have that peace.
You did what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, you have done what. So David did what he was supposed to do. Mm. It's not his problem, it's their problem.
Yes.
And since these people also were not in one accord, were not in one accord with them, yet what he did what God wanted him to do.
Exactly.
And he's, you know, they were not answered, you know. But yet when these people, they are fighting against me, but they were sick, what did I do? I humbled myself with a sackcloth, and my prayers turned back to me. So he did what he did, he did what he was, but God did not answer those prayers, because these people were already hateful. And they were not in one accord. They were not even together. But David did what he was supposed to do. I think.
Are you okay? You are fine now. Mm-hmm. Okay, we continue then. If you are fine.
I'm fine.
I'm not fine. This one here. Amen. Fine. Can you read that from verse? When I humble myself.
When I humble myself, God exalts me.
Uh-huh.
That principle runs throughout the Bible.
Uh huh.
So ever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Matthew 23:12. We have to make the choice. Do I want to be abased? Then I can exalt myself. Do I want to be exalted? Then I need to humble myself. I believe that the basic way for a believer to humble himself is by fasting.
Is he right? Is he okay? The writer?
We skipped those sentences right above that. When I humbled myself, God exalts me. God will not humble us because he has told us to humble ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I've proven by experience that if I fast with the right motive and in faith,
I can humble myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, how do you understand this? I've been going through here and there. How do you get it? Catherine, you better be here. You know, sometimes I forgot you, because when you are there with me, I don't. Yeah? Well, you know, we are, our Bible study is very open. And this, me, I like this way. Whether somebody or you know, we are here, we need. How do you understand that, Sister Purity? Swerve, solo, exalt himself. Swerve.
Is that if you humble yourself, God will lift you up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you lift yourself up, since you cannot sustain yourself up there, God will humble you.
Like what? Like let us put, because tomorrow we don't know who is the preacher, who is the pastor. It might be Sister Prisa is the, she'll be the overseer or all these. You know how.
I don't know. In everything,
in everything
that we do.
Okay.
And you know, being in America, where people are, my pastor preached this some time ago. In America, where when you are quiet, you know, you could have a lot of wisdom and you are quiet, and people may think you don't know. But then there are people who are like always like, you know, like out there. So in a system where people are, if you are like very quiet, like in meetings, in places, like even in a church, people may not feel that you know. But when you have yourself, you know, through prayer, fasting, reading the word and knowing God, God may just come and do something that exalts you. Not that you may get the glory, but so that people can know that for sure this person is with God, or God is with this person. That's what I can say. And I always think about the life of Jesus. I don't think there's anybody who was as humble as Jesus. When he humbled himself, when he was washing the disciples' feet, he was God himself. They were supposed to be washing him in the first place. But here he was serving them. And what did, you know, and God really exalted Christ. So when we are looking at examples of humility, I can only say, you know, Jesus is a good example because of his humility. But, you know, if you look at someone like King David, you know, God exalted him and put Saul down because Saul did not obey Christ. Saul did not obey God, so God looked for somebody who was in the field and exalted him to a level of position and humbled Saul. That's the only example that I can think of right now.
Amen. In verse 11, before we go to verse 12, it says, "But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant." Before you come to verse 12, that it says, "Whosoever," but he says, "Who is greatest among you shall be your servant." You know, this teaching of Jesus Christ. If you are the greatest, you need to serve, not be served. It's vice versa. Today, I don't say I am not against any preacher, I'm not against anybody. But you see, it's like different. You know, yesterday I was laughing, I called Sam. He make me laugh, like yesterday. Sam is a good guy. I like him going with him somewhere. We went somewhere and he did not know that. I have seen him so many times. And that Sam, I like it. That's the right way. So here we were with Bishop Makarioki, you know, and here, you know, you don't, sometimes with his jacket, you can't even, you know him. And Mark, I like Brother Sam so much because he told him, "Hi, brother." You know, he goes, "I'm happy to see you, brother." And then he hugged him like this. Mm-hmm. That is the right way we need to. Mm-hmm. He is your brother in Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, and Bishop Mark said, "Oh, yes, brother, I see you too." You know, they call one. You know, it touched my spirit because the one another is a brother. Calling is okay, gift is okay, whether you are bishop or pastor, those are titles. But the fact remains, you are washed with the blood of Jesus, I'm washed with the blood of Jesus. Both of us, we are brothers in Christ. And through that, you see, I have seen so many, even you can't go near. Like Pastor Karaja can tell you, you have been in South Africa or these areas. There are some bishops even, you can't go near them. I don't say that we don't respect them. We respect them. We give them their respect. But the fact remains, I'm called to humble myself. You can tell, the church is dirty. I can come here in the morning. I see this thing. I'm waiting for some to come and clean it. No way. I'll do it. I've been doing that through my life. It doesn't mean that that's going to change me from my calling. Yeah? The other thing, when you come to the other side, when you are praying, you humble yourself, spirit, soul, and body, to God, to search you. We don't remember this. We don't fast to change God. Don't forget that. God, you fast for 120 years, God will never change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We fast for our life, for last, for our benefit, for us to be changed, not for us to change God. God is the same. Amen. Are we together? So humble, whosoever humble himself. It doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter what you have gone through. Let me give you a testimony. There was this man came here. You remember Bishop John Abidan, who came and stayed in my apartment for 3 weeks. You remember him? I know where I come from, this man. I could go to Eldoret in those days, even you are. If you go to his mansion in Eldoret and he is here, you know, I could look at him and say, what's wrong with this man? I know what he has done. This man could travel to Turkana. I remember when we went there, Turkana, in those small houses with man up there, you know, he could stay, say, oh, I'm going to sleep there. They give him only one blanket. He spent the whole night there. Doesn't mean to know, oh no, I'm here with this guy, Turkana. They don't. Turkana is a tribe in Kenya, in northern Kenya. They are. Let me tell you, it's a bad area. That even you go there, you start crying because of the way they are. But this man could go there, preach, he don't care what you have. But you, because you have already known God, you know God. It's not like Gaddafi, who was killed like a dog today. With those all powers in the world, he could not do anything. We are different. We are called by God. Amen? I think you get me what I want to say. Are we together?
Amen.
You want to say something, Karaja?
I just wanted to ask
you. I see, yeah.
One scripture in Philippians 2:8.
Uh-huh.
Philippians 2:8. It talks about... you are there? And if you are there,
yeah.
I mean, it's good to open and see if you have a Bible.
Yep.
It says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself.
Yeah, exactly.
Became obedient
unto the cross.
Even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has
exalted him.
Highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we see like Jesus did not. He humbled himself, and one thing that his humbling should teach us is that he was God, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he was found in the form of a man. That's what the Bible says. Being found in fashion as a man, he, by humbling himself, he was trying to show us that he recognized his humanity, and that's why he, by humbling himself, he was showing us he was totally dependent on God. That was one thing. And when we humble ourselves, we are actually recognizing our sinfulness before God.
Mm-hmm.
We are not trying to bribe God so that he can see us that we are good. No, we are just recognizing our sinfulness. Mm-hmm. And if through humbling we can be able to overcome some of the things that hinder us and make us to be captives and people of no impact in the kingdom, then so be it. Jesus did not come and say, well, you know, I'm God. I was there. No, he was just down there. And when Pastor Wilson is saying that we humble ourselves, and the writer of this wonderful teaching saying that one example is to do what?
When I humble myself.
Yes. What is this point here? They're trying to make... We are still on number one, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is to humble ourselves.
Exactly.
I think it's nothing but a recognition of my sinfulness before
mm-hmm.
God. And because I recognize I'm a sinful man, I humble myself before him. That should be a very good motivation for anybody to start fasting tomorrow.
And to add that, Pastor Karaja, when you know that you have yourself, that is the time, in fact, for you to repent.
Yes.
Even think about, you know, many times we go like, who are drinking alcohol, who are doing those? No. Even talking, thinking evil, you surrender yourself. You give your total being, spirit and soul to God. Search me, Lord. Let me be the way you want me to be. You know, through that you get that transformation in your spirit, in your mind, that you're gonna do exactly. And let me tell you, through that your life will be not the same. It doesn't matter where you go, wherever you are, because God knows you. Let me give you a testimony. It was about 12, 13 years ago. I know a preacher, I will not mention him, because now he is in a mess, a big mess. he came in a open air meeting, and my spirit was no. There's a, you know, remember Bishop Musyoka who came here from Ohio? He told me, I was his assistant pastor back home. He told me, no, Wilson, we have to go this crusade. I told him, oh, I don't know. Okay, Bishop, I'll go, but I don't feel it. I don't know. That was my first time to be that meeting of this guy. It was in a France, Daniel. I went there and did not open even the Bible. And the first three words he said is that my public address, my public system is not like for Bonke. Mine are more costly than... I said, my God, now where did I come here? Because now that's not right. No, he said, I'm planning to have a ship to be doing business about oil business worldwide. He continued. Then immediately I called Pastor Musyoka. I told him, let me go home because he does not help me with anything. Then he prayed for the people. Those who are having 1,000 were prayed for. Those who are having 500 were praying for. 200 were praying for. From 100 going down, he's not going to pray. I say, no, this is too much. This now is beyond my knowledge. Today we are talking with you right now from that, because since that time I have never had him. I told God, you know him. I am very young. I don't know about the word of God. He knows better than me, but I will never listen to him. Today he is in a big, big mess in the world. Today. What I mean is this. Unless we come to know that what we have is not ours, even your life is not yours. Do you know that? Your life is not yours, Mama Joki. Belong to somebody, the Creator. So it's like a must we happen to humble, because even we ourselves, we don't belong to ourselves. Amen? Okay, let us go to the other step.
I also wanted to say,
say purity.
We look at humility and we look at the actions that are visible.
Uh-huh.
But there are times you may not be humble, even though you don't portray the action. You could have a problem of self-lifting up. Mm. You know, like even spiritually, you look down on other people, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. not just what we can see, because our human eyes can only see, you know, we can only see with our human eyes. But to the God who sees on the inside, you know, we also pray, because there are times we may not show it, but there's something going on inside, and it's not visible to people. I don't know, maybe I'm not making so much sense, but it may not be visible to people as an action. You know, I may not come and lift myself up and tell you, I have preached, I have done, I am called of God. But I could have an attitude in the inside that you will never know, but I'm not humble. So it's telling God to search our hearts. And that's why I like David in Psalms 51, where he was saying, create me a clean heart
and
renew a right spirit within me. Because sometimes you could have your spirit is not even humble. You may not even say something, but it's the spirit that is within you. You're not humble. So even asking God to search our hearts and search our spirits, that if there's anything that is not completely submitted to him, because I believe when we completely submit to the Lord, this humility thing will be nothing. We will just find our lifestyle is a lifestyle of humility. You know, Monday we are humble to our bosses, we are humble to the people we work with, to the people on the road, we are humble to our pastor, we are humble to everybody, because it's our lifestyle.
I agree with you. Yeah. Amen. The other, let me add to you that, because that one has been working so much in the church. Let us say I'm a pastor, Pastor Karaja is a pastor, we have a senior pastor, Tony, we have other pastors, or somebody, even not pastor. A priest, you know, she can be preaching one Sunday, you know, you understand what I mean? And because I'm a pastor, I look, what is he going to say? You guys, you need to open your church, because you're giving us a lot of, okay. Now, yeah. No, it's okay. Now, what I want to say is this. There is what we call unteachable spirit.
Mm.
Unteachable spirit is a very, very bad spirit. Mm. And it works mostly in our churches. Mm. When somebody is, if it is Pastor Karaja is preaching, and I've been preaching almost 20 years, 30 years, you see somebody will not sit down there. Because, you know, me, I'm... You don't have even that spirit to reason. You don't want to know what God does want to say to you that day. Because God can't let him start there for nothing. He has something for my life. That spirit is working in a very, very highly manner in the churches. Unteachable spirit. And you know, when we pray and when we fast, something I do pray for myself. God, give me a teachable spirit. Give me a spirit that I can hear and understand what you want to say to me. That is my life. Because I know something very, you know something very, you go, I was listening to this guy called, what was called, Myers, is it Myers? Myers, what do you call it? Myers from, not Caribbean, he's not from Caribbean, he's from this, Monroe, he's not from Caribbean, he's from the, where does he come from?
Somewhere
in the world. Okay, wherever he comes from. There. You know, I was listening to him the other day. He was teaching something. And I said, Lord.
Bahamas.
Exactly, Bahamas. This man brought a revelation that I have never had. I say, wow. Yesterday we went with Sam. Mark was preaching about what? Jesus wept for Lazarus, and when he wept for the Jerusalem. Two different revelations came last night. Even these guys, the pastors, were saying when we were eating, Bishop, I have been preaching for almost 25 years. I have never had that. Because God, you humble yourself, you receive new revelation. It was, you know, what I mean is this, whenever you see whether it's Lorraine, whether it's Mama Joki, you need to have that teachable spirit. That time is not you, it's her. So God, you have something for my life. Amen. That bring different. But sometimes you can see somebody, oh, today's fine. Oh, let me go. Nothing she has. That means you don't, you walk by flesh because you look at fire, you don't see Jesus. I think you understand what I mean. So happiness comes in so many different ways. Many times, like me, I don't like ever in my life movement when somebody's preaching. That is me. Oh, no. I, even when I'm looking and listening, whether I'm lighting or not, but I don't want. Me, I want just to hear, because there's something God gonna teach me that day.
Then you belong in the front row.
Yeah, that, no, whatever, I know. No, people can move, can do what, but when I have to reason, because 1 minute, if I try just, the devil brings something for you to start moving, that was your word. You make, the devil makes sure you are not going to receive that word. So what I do is, I have to. Amen.
You don't want to move.
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant motion around you.
No, but children, they move, they want, but I want but just want to focus and to listen the word of God, because that's why I'm there. Mm. You understand what I mean? So there are so many areas that when we grow up or we grow in the word of God, we can be different with other people in the world. Amen.
That's a good point you made about if you get sidetracked when someone's preaching the word, that could be Satan trying to steal that from you.
That's the work of the air. That's the work of the enemy. He don't want you to get that word. He don't want you, you know. You make sure, this is the time for fight. To understand. No. This time for, because that is, he don't want you to grow in it. He don't want you to understand it.
Hear anything.
Yeah. Amen. Okay, say fine.
What I can add about what Sister Purity was talking about, humility, it's also good when, for example, like the way you were saying, somebody has been preaching for 30 years. Now you think nobody can talk over you. Mm-hmm. And there's this person who has just given his or her life to Christ. Kind of underlook that person, and you think this person cannot be of beneficial to me. I think what we need to do is even to look at those people when you know, like your spirit, you feel, we can't tell, but when you know that your spirit feel, approach that person, try to encourage that person. You know, you can even tell that person, I want you to pray for me. That, with that way, you build the ego of that person.
Right.
and he moved just sit on that corner, because most people tend to sit on a corner because they know these are the only people who can
speak. Do something.
And there are so many people who are pushed. You know, you want to rise, but you kind of been pushed away. You've been pushed away. You want to connect with Christ, but you don't have that. You don't have that person, because you also need a person to pull you up. So I think it's also upon us, everybody. When you see somebody, you know, encourage that person. Sister Mary, that you believe in. You know, you're going to need that. Sister Fine, Sister Felista, do this. With that, it encourages and it builds us up.
Amen, yeah. Amen. In fact, that's by the way, because like now we go to a fellowship where there is somebody's house, and we are there to tell my sister, you're going to pray. You know, it doesn't matter that, you know, that's the time to build your faith. Let me give you this. First time when I was told I'm going to preach on Sunday, I remember that day the whole week, I could go the whole Bible. This one, you see how big it is? From Monday, looking where. I don't see anywhere, the whole thing. The whole week. Then on Monday, Saturday evening, I asked God, what am I going to do? The pastor, if I call him, tell him I'm not ready to preach, I don't know what he's going to say. Because I've been going to Bible study for a long time. You know, it was a message for only 25 minutes. I'm done. 25 minutes. I was done. And I said, let us pray. You know, when I went to the office, and I called pastor, what did I say? Please tell me. Please tell me, because I don't think I say. He told me, it's not you. It's not, you know, he helped me a lot. He told me, it's not you. When you start there, give your spirit, your mind, your body to the Holy Spirit. It's not, when you say it's me, you never preach. It's not you, it's the one who is in you. From that time, I start being encouraged. And I could go open, to call me in the open air meetings. I don't care. Most of the open air meetings, even in Mombasa, I've been there. Go to Lamu, Peketonia, preach open to Muslims. And, you know, it's because the time I came to realize it's not me. The same the case today. It's not only Wilson or Fine or Pastor or who to pray. It's time for Mama Joki, wherever we go, somebody. You know, because we are growing. Be ready anytime. You can do, now today we are here, and we do not plan, but are you ready? You can give the word. You know, you are prepared. You have the word in you. You don't read the word that you're going to preach tomorrow. You read the word to change you first, so that you can change others. Amen.
Okay,
amen.
Another motive for fasting is to come near.
Thank you.
Is to come closer to God. The scripture says that if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you.
James 4:8.
A third reason for fasting is to understand God's word more clearly.
Mm-hmm. What did we say?
Yeah.
Well, but before you continue, it's very, very important. Mm-hmm. We said when we are fasting and prayer, you can't put the Bible, the word of God, far away from you. Is the word, prayer, fasting. Reading the word, you understand the word, prayer and fasting. So that you can understand the word of God clearly. I think you get me right. What about if somebody does not pray, does not fast, and he reads the word? Is he going to understand it clearly? If somebody does not pray, does not fast, and he reads the word, and he preaches the word, is he going to understand the word of God clearly?
I think they say is to understand the word of God more clearly. I think that word more, you can understand, but it will be limited. Maybe even the hidden meaning what God wants to bring, that revelation, you speak something and you just understand with your carnal mind. But when you understand what Spirit of God wants you to see, because you have brought yourself to a level that God can speak to you.
Amen.
Amen. Continue.
A third reason for fasting is to understand God's word more clearly. I have learned by experience over the years that when I am seeking God in times of fasting, he gives me further, deeper understanding of his word.
Of his word.
Further, deeper
of his word.
Mm-hmm. Another very important reason for fasting is to find God's will and to receive direction in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Ezra said, I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance.
That I think you have been leading, or I don't know whether I've been leading that scripture or that Ezra now and then for many years. Mm-hmm. But you see, they were fasting for God to give them the right way. You know, it's not the way that what can I put it this way? It's not because somebody was sick or problem was coming. It's for us to do the right way. I think you get that. Do you understand that? Yeah? Are we together? Amen? The right way. For us and our young ones. For us.
Find God's will.
For know that we might afflict ourselves before our God to sake of him a right way for us and for our little ones. Yeah, you get it?
Was this a physical one? Was this
exactly? Yeah, the way they are gonna. What can we do for you? Even you know everything you are purity. Mm. All spiritual things are the first before physical things. Mm. When we come here first, we decided in our spirit that today we will go. Mm. Now we start moving with our body because already we have decided inside. Mm-hmm. You get me right?
Aren't there sometimes the other way around too?
Oh, yes, but I am telling you whether it is all truth is parallel. Everything is first spiritual. Whether it is in the other world or this world, spiritual world, all things first come. You know, I think it's deeper. That when we start that, we'll go another different thing. It's better to understand. What I mean is this. If I decide, like now, I sit down. I'm a born-again Christian and I want to know God's way and I want to know this, whether it's the will of God. According to what they said, I start fasting and giving myself to know whether it is God's will. If it is God's will, we're going to live in it. And you'll know, even before, you will know. You understand what I mean? Is that okay? Okay, we continue so that we can... Well, we have that minute. But
again, it has been my experience and my testimony that when I humble myself in fasting and seek him for direction and guidance, he does lead me in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I have proved this in many situations where we have had to move from country to country, and when we have had to make decisions between going to one field or another to work, to one type of ministry or another. I have found that if we take time to fast and pray in humility, seeking God's direction, we receive what we pray for. Another very common reason for fasting is to seek healing. Isaiah 58 verse 8 says, "Thy health shall spring forth speedily." This also applies to deliverance from evil spirits. Jesus said in one place about a certain type of evil spirit, "This kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting." Matthew 17:21. Before Jesus himself entered into his ministry of healing and deliverance, he spent 40 days fasting.
Okay. Well, we have been that scripture. Pastor Karanja was not here. Isaiah 58, you know, since we started. We are going back all the time, Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Now this is another fasting. The first one we have seen is to say God's ways. Number two is for the healing. Huh? This is physical healing also. Don't say it's spiritual healing. It's physical healing. Because Jesus said here, such a demons can't go by somebody just want to get up. You have first of all to give yourself. Be fight those evil spirits by fasting and prayer. Huh? You get me what I say? Like your children, I give you another. We have a lot of testimony here. And he said once again and again, my last born who was almost out, and they went in the house. He was dead, you know. And the devil went to, and I stood praying for him. And today he is alive. We have seen this. Many, many things that, except you know, it is will of God, and it is will of God to pray for him. And when you pray for healing, according to what Jesus says, that we fight, these are demons. These are demons. Sickness, cancer is a demon. Yeah? AIDS are demons, eh? Although some, you know, I think you understand, you get me right. Like today, I know Aziz are no mentions. It was not feeling good. And I told her, no, this is the second day you're not by. These are demons. We have to say no. We have to say no. Stand strong with it. Against. It's evil. But when you see somebody telling you it's God's will for you to have a cancer, me, I don't. That one, I don't care whether it is there or not, but I know whether I die or not, this is not the will of God. Because Jesus said, such a demon, they are demons. Evil spirits, they come attack our body because of the way it is, you know? I think you understand what I mean. Because we have, as we, it's not the word of God. We have given God some diseases. No way you can tell me the word of God. God says, viva, cancer, is of God. The other ones is of the devil. No, we have to understand the word of God. We have to know exactly what our God will is. Amen? If it is prayer and fasting for healing, like now we had, who is this, the boy that was operated 18 times? Is it 16 or the surgery? The guy that was, we were praying here for him. How many times?
I think 14 or something.
14.
Many times.
And we remember the time we prayed, he went to the doctor and he was told no more surgery. Why? Because we are fighting against those demons. We fight. In the spiritual world, if you go to the spiritual world, you can see how demons they are operating. Evil spirits, when they come to the church, they bring separation. Nobody wants to see one another. Nobody wants to listen to one another. We need somebody to stand in the gap and fight those demons without caring what. Then the next Sunday, you're going to see them loving to one another. And don't talk. That is a secret to you and him. The same case in the house. Like, you know, I let me not say, because many times we have so much attack, mostly whomever declare you are pastor or you are servant. But what we do is we stand and pray and say, no, God, no. We fight against these demons and the victory comes. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Something else? Somebody has something? Okay, continue.
Okay. We also can fast when we need God's intervention in some particular crisis.
Uh-huh.
Or when some tremendous problem has arisen that we cannot handle by ordinary means. There are many examples of this in the Bible. In 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah found that they were facing an invading army that they could not meet with normal military methods. They humbled themselves before God, gathered together, fasted and prayed. God dealt with the invading army. They didn't have to use a single weapon. God totally defeated their enemies for them. And I don't believe God has any favorites. I believe he's just as willing to intervene on our behalf when we seek him in the same way.
Well, you know, we have seen this book many times, 2 Chronicles, and we don't have time, we can go through it, and which is very, 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 very important, amen?
Mm-hmm.
About these guys, when they was told, can you select some guys that can worship singers, am I right? It's not, it's not, because these are army coming, and they were saying that your mercy endures forever. Your mercy endures forever. The Bible says the enemy were confused and they start killing one another. Mm-hmm. After prayer and fasting, they did not get up and start just going. First of all, they started prayer and fasting. Then God intervened and came and told them, get me a group. You know, when you pray and fasting, God infuses so many things to you. Mm-hmm. You can even sense what is going on within your community, within your area, within your house, within the church. And let me tell you, God, even I move from here, I believe one thing, He's going to lead me in the right place. If I'm not called to go and start another church somewhere, wherever I go, I believe it. I'll be in the right place. Because I have met so many times before, I could go somewhere after law, I say, oh my God, why did I come here? No, so from that time, I came to realize I have to pray God to lead me. I have to fast and pray God to lead me to be in the right place. Amen. Catherine, you are very quiet. You have to say something now. Without you saying something, we're going to close and pray. Catherine, you make me happy. I like you are quiet. I like you because the way you are quiet is very good. It is better even to receive all the time. Amen. Okay. You see, like now, many directions. I don't know how Kenya or other countries. Nowadays, you know, when they declare war, it's only the president, commander-in-chief, armed forces and all these. But in these days, in those days, the Bible days, that the thing they could do, they could come together before they go and pray the way these Jews and others, they are doing. They could come, first of all, pray and fasting for God to lead them. Today, before we go to preach, to go outside and attack the enemy, we first come and fast and pray. That is our warfare. Amen. Now tell me, if you go somewhere, a church that is not praying, what do you call that church?
Dead.
Dead. D-E-A-D. Dead church. And that's why I do say, whether we are 3 or 4 or 5, let us not be dead. If the time you feel that you're going to, you will come, no, pray, not only Sundays. I know Sundays we come here very early in the morning at 10, it's okay. But from Monday to Friday before Sunday, we need to come and study in the gap. If I'm not working like me, I'm alone, you can't be like me, because sometimes I say, oh no, today let me go and sleep there in the church. I come here and it's okay. Sometimes this is my bed. I can pray there, come and sleep here 15 minutes, I go there, it's okay. That's, if you can. And I have seen even others are coming, like Brother Moob, like that. Because when you pray, let me tell you, and you know what you are doing, and you are praying according to the will of God, you see God working. I believe it. I don't know whether I'll be here or not, but you're going to see God working. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, okay, continue, the final.
A final reason for fasting is to intercede and pray on behalf of others.
Okay, the final reason, this is very, very important. This is, you can't say, let me tell you, you can't say you don't have anything to fast. Yeah, okay, first of all, direction, for your healing, am I right? Mm. When you are attacked by demons and all these evil spirits, they are coming against you. Is a military, you are fasting for it, because that is, let us put in our church today, not in those days. The final reason for fasting, I like this man of God, is that to intercede, to pray for behalf of others. Continue. You quiet, Jerome. Yeah. Need my purity. Leave this guy alone.
Many people come to me about their unsaved relatives and they ask, what can I do to get my relatives saved? I often ask them, have you ever fasted and prayed for your unsaved husband or for your unsaved son or daughter? Are you willing to make a personal sacrifice? Do something that will cost you on behalf of your loved ones? There are many testimonies from believers of how God has answered the prayer that is accompanied by fasting on behalf of unsaved relatives. If you are going to have a special period of fasting, more than a day or so, or you have some special purpose for fasting, sometimes it is good to make a written list of what you are fasting about and date it. I am glad that many years ago in the early 50s, I did that on several occasions. I still have the lists. In looking back over them, I see with amazement how many of the things that I fasted for, God answered. And some of them were great things. To give you an example, I fasted and prayed for the salvation of my mother. Although it took many years, God saved her very definitely and very dramatically, almost at the last moment. At about the last time I could be reassured she really understood the gospel, she had a tremendous experience of salvation. So it pays to pray and to fast. When I look back on those lists now, I praise God for the marvelous answers to prayer. A prayer list might be a good idea in your ordinary prayer life. That's not to say that everybody needs to do it, but if you do, one day you'll praise God for the way He has answered your prayers.
That's it. I think you're done, eh? 309. We are done, so that the other one, how long should I fast? Leave about that one. How long should I fast? To add up or to go back, what we have seen there is this. Me, I do give a life testimony because of my life. My life was so bad. I was in Mombasa through my life. And that's why I went for school. That's why it's back in 1970. And when I went there, I started eating, what do you call mira? Mira is something, trees.
Cat.
Yeah.
H-A-T.
Is some trees.
Oh.
Yeah, I was here. I could go. I remember in the college, in the college where I was having about 2 kilos, 2 pounds, 3 pounds. The whole day, my life was miserable, was bad. And the other thing I could do after that, just go and drink, dead fighting. You know, it was not good for me. It was not good, and I could even kill myself. But sometimes I thought it's not good for me to live. And, you know, I was a young man. I remember my mother came. She was born again. She was. She knew about prayer and fasting. And she came to... She came to visit me in Mombasa. And I remember she came. The thing I was doing is only, you know, I started buying clothes for me when I was young, whenever I could get money on his shirt, juice, what it was like, almost everything was, she was like this, that for 50 pairs. And he looked, he asked, why do you buy all this? Instead of buying something, his only shoes and all this. So it was a bad life. And she looked at me, the way I was, she went back home, she called another lady, another one, she told them, the thing I'm going to do,
no.
We are going to fast and pray for my son. Don't pray with prayer. Mostly for your mom. Let me tell you, I remember I was working. I don't know what happened. It was Saturday, 7 a.m. in the morning. I called my dad. And this company was ours, was my dad's company. I told him, Dad, from today, I am going and I'm not going to work. 7 in the morning, I packed everything like somebody crazy. I was not know where I was going. I remember I went somewhere called Bodeni. I took a bus going to Lamu, not going to up country, heading now to the worst place, Lamu. It was about 100% Muslims. I went there. I think I just on about 6 months later, I found myself in the church. When I got saved, and then I tried to write some letters to my mother, everybody that I'm born again, I got saved. My mother was not happy. She said, no, that's a closed chapter. I prayed for that last year, and it's already gone, and I was waiting for that. So others were sitting, saying, oh, yes, yes, they call me long. Long is born again, everybody was, you know. What I mean is this. My mother stood for my love with prayer and fasting. If she could not do that, I could not be there. That I bought this scripture, what the writer has said, we have to stand in the gap of others. When we see somebody in the church is really weak, is destroyed, the devil wants to kill him, we are the one to stand in the gap behalf of him. I mean, you get me right? It's for me to carry that burden. Like a pregnant who was preaching that about Is that my vision? Mark was preaching about conceiving yesterday. Conceiving, you need to be conceived about that burden. There's a guy that I know is called Charles Finney. Charles Finney, I like him so much. I like that man of God. He was here in 1516, something there, back in America. And he said this. He could go and somebody ask, are you sick here? Why are you sick? I have a cancer. He said, you have a cancer? Okay, I have a cancer too. He carried that cancer. He is not sick. But he said, I could carry that burden of cancer as I'm the one who is sick. He could go and pray and fast. The time he feels that he is healed, the other person is healed. You know, people are different. That is his faith. He carried that burden. He could not eat. He could not waste it until he feels that he has that freedom in the spirit. The same thing today. The same thing today. When I see purity in a problem and then I just look like this, it's like I don't know where I'm going or whom I am. I need to cut that burden. She's not supposed to know. Mm-hmm. No, you're not supposed to, but I cut that burden until I see and see you, there's freedom in your life. Amen? Amen? Have you ever known that when you pray, or when you are praying, if you meet somebody, you can sense from yourself that there's something going on. You call. So I'm going to tell you, yeah, there's this and this. You call somebody exactly the right time because you have been praying for somebody, mentioning the names, you know, calling somebody, amen? The weak ones. The strong one need to carry the weak ones. That was the message with Pastor Karaja Sunday. You remember that? That was a message. Yeah. Oh, you are not here? We love you, my sister. That is a message. We love you very much. That's why the Holy Spirit wants to hear about that. We carry the weak ones. We carry the weak ones. We go to the weak ones, whether they want or not. I've gone somewhere. Somebody does not want you to go in the house. I don't. You go. He will not tease you out. You go inside and you start laughing. Oh, God has blessed me to be with you. You change the atmosphere. That spirit of tension in that house. You make that it's gone. You bring a new spirit of God in that house. You know, so many houses have a lot of tension. Have you ever gone even in the house? You see, you can touch that tension. It's heavy like a crowd. Even you can feel it. You go to a church, you say, oh my God, this church, where can I go and start praying for it? And where? Even here, you can come in the morning, people are there, you go, you say, oh Lord, this burden is too much. We can't carry it because already the enemy have set the demons. Before you start the service, you are paralyzed. Nobody's happy. Nobody's joking. You know? Mama joking, you know, you can get up in the morning and your husband has not said anything evil to you. And you in the morning, you're not happy. You're angry. And you don't want anything, even you try the tea. And you're not sick. Yeah? And you don't want to talk with anybody, even the phone. Somebody's calling and you don't know. Why is she calling me this time? And no, you know, nobody. It's only evil, it's the spirits. You know, unless we come to the spiritual world and send these demons, that's the time we come and pray because you know. Now, these are demons. Unless we grow and we reach a point that you know there is evil, there is something against in our spirit, against our lives, that's the time we stand and start be serious with it. Prayer and fasting. Yeah. Amen. 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 You start, you know, like now you can say, Pastor is busy here and there. But you know when we stand for his life, we stand for him. Who knows the way we lay? You remember that last day? Who knows whether God is going to hear and answer our prayers and do great things? We need to be different. Amen. We need to be different. You know, I remember when I was in Missouri, we went there with another brother from Kenya. It's called Gideon. And we start, you know, the way we came and we are so much excited and we are happy from Kenya with anointing. You know that anointing, you know? And we immediately we start overnight prayer on Fridays. Man, we were two of us. And Sundays, they were full. I say, I ask you, what is going on here? I thought these the way they were happy on Sundays. In fact, we take time about almost 3 months to get about 10 people to come and pray with us. But after law, we could, God could ask, okay, what problem do you have in the house? My husband, this and this. Let us pray for him. We hold hands that night. We prayed. When he said, oh my God, my husband got saved. You know, things start changing. They start coming because they have seen God. The same thing here. People have problem. And that's why you see even others are getting that kanywaji, that alcohol, because of problem. It's not them. It's the stress. What else can they do? If you don't pray, you don't fast, what else can you do? You're going to get what can help your head. Let me tell you the truth. We blame them for nothing. And we have seen this going on. But unless people come and stand in the gap and see the movement of God, praying and fasting. And we declared, you remember, since we started, we start with one day. Don't start with 5 days or 6 days if you have never done it. Start in the gap. Pray for your life, for your family, for the church. Those things are very important. Pray for this. Don't forget about that. Your life, your family, for the church. First of all, before you go to the next step, you're going to see what God is going to do. When people, they come, whether they are 10 in the church or they are 20, we don't care, but they're going to receive the word of God. Pray for their eyes of their understanding to be enlightened so that they can receive the word of God with anointing. That is very, very important. Look.
You know, she was one of the ladies who were willing to get saved. Uh-huh. Came from the same village. Uh-huh. And, you know, sometimes she would call me to her place. And, you know, I don't want to go because of the people who would be there. But she called me the other day and she told me she got saved.
Look, that is God we serve. Amen. 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 I told you my youngest son, you know, we grow up, and the other one, they called me the other day and they told me, you know what, Dad, we want good Bibles because me, I got saved. You know, he was. I bought a good Bible. I said Isaac's wife, when she went, with a very good Bible, and he told me now, even when I close my school, I don't go to going loud there in the town. I'm reading the Bible and the studies. Yes, Christine, you know, he charged my spirit. Yes, he can be one of, who knows whether you'll be a good preacher or what. Because the more we pray for them, the more we save their life. Eh? Somebody was praying for us. We need to pray for somebody. We can't come and just sit down in the church. We sing 5 songs. We jump. We say, hallelujah, hallelujah. Then the pastor preach. We go home. That's life. No way. We need to be in a different life. Amen. So that even when I call you, I know you are praying. There's no need to tell you, oh, Mama Joki, I need prayers. Oh, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to remember you in prayers. And that's it. Even you're going to remember 3 days. Oh, I was, you know, somebody, you need to, no, I'm not against you, my sister, you know. You need to know that when I call, like, the way you said, text messages, I like it. There's somebody saying, like, now, Wilson, whether I'm at work, I go in bathroom to call for 5 minutes. I studied faith with my sister this morning. That God honors that because he knows you are praying. But you see, you can't call every brother. We have so many Christians, many churches here. You can't text everybody. Can we pray together? Because you don't know them. And you don't know whether they are praying. And that's why you see we limit our boundaries with so many, many, many brothers. But when we know that if I call Pastor Karanja, you'll be praying with me. I know every problem I have. He's going to take it, you know, I'll call him. They tell me, can we go in the church? Can we meet there if you have time? It doesn't matter, 2 hours or 3 hours, you see, the other day you see things change. We start for the life, we come against the premature death. Mm-hmm. Our children want, you know, the Bible says children are going to bury their parent. Mm-hmm. We are waiting for our children to bury us, mm-hmm. not for us to bury our children. Mm-hmm. This is God. Mm-hmm. To start with the promises of God in his word. Read the word. It has so many, many scriptures in your life. Start whether this is not there or not, you know this one says. Deuteronomy 28 says this one to 14, from 15 is curses. You all these need to be in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Are we together?
Yeah. The way you're saying that there are some people who, you know, they are praying for you. I have another, she's my sister. We went to college together in Strathmore,
uh-huh.
in Kenya. She's in Boston. Well, she's not in Boston. She's in Massachusetts somewhere. And Wanja will call me. If I don't pick up,
She doesn't leave a voicemail, oh, how are you doing? It's a prayer. I guess she closed her eyes, we're praying, and she prayed until the phone cuts her off. And sometimes she'll just call me and tell me, let's pray. Mm-hmm. No hello, nothing, let's pray. Oh, okay, fine, you're fine, okay, bye. She's like that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. The other thing, it's only 2 minutes, we have 2 minutes. Whenever we visit, let us do this. Whenever it is done, my time is done. Well, my time is done, 2 minutes, that's it. Who is late? You came late? No, you are not late. Okay. The other thing, as brothers and sisters, whenever you go, you visit. This is not beyond the pastors or the leaders. Whenever you go in a house, I like the way Purity you do after the service here. I can see Purity praying with somebody here all the time. I like that. Let me tell you that. Somebody can come, can we pray? Even if there is no time to come, you pray. Yeah? You go like the other day I went, I miss this family, Tony and his wife, all the time when I'm, and I said, let me go there. I called. I was told Tony is sleeping. But the way my boy was speaking, I had, there's something. But I don't want to confess, he says, you know, I have to confess that he is okay. I said, I'm coming. I went there, I get Mugore, Joki. Where was you on Sunday? Oh, wah. Immediately I hold those two kids on my, you know, I'd put them here, don't, you know, sometimes if Joro is coughing, you know, you can see other preachers are praying when he is far away like that, so that you don't want to look him up. You don't want to get those virus. But hold that like this, but, you know, with a love. You know, God will protect you, let me tell you. Whether it is true or what, that's what I believe. You know, I feel so good when we are praying with those children, be quiet. And they said, amen. You know what? God is not a respecter of persons. Make sure wherever you go, pray. Amen. You know, let that be a spirit of prayer, be a part of your life. Never you visit me, don't go without saying a word of prayer in there. No, you just don't get me, you go the way you came. That affect me because you don't know where I was. It might be I was not having anything in my pocket. You pray 5 minutes, I get money. Amen. You might be having chaos in the house.
Yeah? Surprised.
Who is that?
Mr. Moon.
He came in your house?
Yeah, he was shampooing my carpet. When he was done and he was leaving, he said, let's pray. It kind of surprised.
Wow.
you see, those are the testimony you want to hear. He can't work for you and you are paying him, but before he goes, let us pray. That's what you know, that's very, very important. Amen.
Yes.
And that's how we want, and that's how we are going on. And. But remember this, brother, my sister, as we continue learning this, we have about few 2 weeks or that, about prayer and fasting, we have to start, and I know we have started, I know we are doing that because it's sacred, but let us be, not on one day, anything you see in your family, whether it's your wife, whether it's your children, whether it's your husband, anything, whether you see something in the church, don't even waste your time. Don't even, there's no time to tell pastor. You just don't go, start immediately praying for that need. And you're going to see God how he works. He works in marvelous way. He's going to do, you know, even the church, you're going to enjoy, you're going to see the fruit. Because we are not here just to stay in America. We are here for a purpose. It's not only to get money, but to change the lives of many. Money is good. Money, I don't say it's not bad, it's good. But spiritual lives are more important than money. That's what I do say all the time. Because first, sex is the kingdom of God, and all other things will be added to you. We have seen that. We have seen millionaires, but we, more than millionaires. Amen.
Amen.
What can we say then? We can go home. Amen. Amen. How is it?
It's bueno.
Yeah?
It's bueno.
Yeah, so we're gonna learn. Amen. This guy. So, Catherine, thank you because we love you. We love you much because you receive so much. So when you start giving up, you're gonna.
I know.
In fact, yesterday we were so much challenged by where we went, and this hall, I think ours is bigger than that one. Me, I could not believe it. Jerome was somebody came and picked him, and that's it. So I think that we go somewhere, we learn something, we come and try. Yeah, we will try whether we can keeping them in one of the truck outside, or I don't know. Whatever God is going to give us direction. Amen. Let us come and pray. And, thank you, Pastor Karaji. I know from Kela up to here.
I said I have to come and participate in today's.
That's